And I'm telling you, really, Brother Raven Smith is where I really got acquainted with him and Brother Raven and everybody. And I haven't been preaching about 18 years myself. He's been preaching several years longer than I have. I got called late in life. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. I want to help you tonight, the Lord being my helper. That's my motive for preaching. It's not that you can say I left and said, boy, he preached good. It's not, the motive's not behind that. I appreciate when you say I preach good, but I'm interested in God helping us around here. And how many know we need help from God? We need help from God. And I don't know how to pastor, and I've not learned how to pastor. It just takes the Lord leading us and guiding us, and I depend on the Holy Ghost more than I ever have in my life. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf, and he sent us the Holy Ghost. I'm right, and I'm not that or nothing. The only qualification for going to heaven is being saved. But if you're going to live in this day and hour, you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And that's not just a commotion emotion. That is speaking in tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. God has not changed. Pentecostal folks have changed. We've talked about it since I've been here. Brother Gene Hampton and myself talked about it. People don't believe like they used to believe. But it is the same. It's still the same. God has not changed. And so I appreciate everything I've heard. I'm going to attempt to preach out of Revelation, the first chapter, tonight. One good thing about Brother Ingram, for the most part, I'm never long-winded. And so I won't promise anything if the Holy Ghost gets in it. Amen. But we want to try to help you tonight. Amen. Revelation, the first chapter, the ninth verse, the Bible says, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation. Now, this word tribulation here, it's not talking about the great tribulation, for we have tribulation in our lives right now.
That's right.
We have problems and issues. The stress and pressure of being a child of God is greater than it's ever been. We're at the close of the end time. I believe we're in the last days. I believe we're perilous times is here, and God's people is going to have to go through some things. And we're going through some things right now. Right now, things is overwhelming. And if let's talk about the issues in my family and different things, and you was to tell me, we would probably go home discouraged. That's not what I want to talk to you about, but we are going to have them. All right, we're going to have. And here John says, companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. In the 10th verse, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. And I want to preach to you tonight. You may be seated if you'd like. I want to preach the Lord being my helper on two environments. Now, John was here on this isle that is called Patmos, and he was in two places at one time, and he was in tribulation. What happened is society, and I want to tell you, we're in a day and an hour, and especially our current, and I've not been up here, I've not been here for 16 years, I've not been around here, brother, and folks probably don't know me, but I hope that I can just feel liberty here and preach to you. But America is going away from God. Our current political system is going away from God. And we understand that and we know that. And that puts us sometimes in tribulation when they take God out of the schools, all right? And they uphold homosexuality, all right? And we know that that's that damns the family and the home as far as them coming together. All right, there's no such thing as two men or two women having a family. All right, now they're coming across with that. And there's no way that you can have children with that kind of lifestyle. So America, our current system, is doing away with the family and the home. And I believe the first institution made of God was the family and the home. You build a strong church on a family, on a home, on children, amen, and you can have a strong church. Well, we're in the last days, and Isaiah says it here. He says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." And we are in an immoral society. We're in Sodom and Gomorrah. And nobody says anything is wrong anymore. All right? Church world, and the brother testified about it just a little bit. All right? And the church world is not what it used to be. All right? The churches I was raised up in are not what they used to be, Brother Gene. And I'm not here just to bash or tear down, because I love them. They're my people. I love them. It breaks my heart to see churches turning and going away from God. Amen. An old time, old fashioned holiness. Amen. That is still right. Hallelujah. So we're living in that day, and even our Brother Gene was talking to me, and your pastor, Brother Bobby, was talking to me about folks that used to believe like we do, but no longer believe it. They said, "Well, we just see things different." Well, I want to tell you, the Bible's the same for them and for me. And I'm not here to debate, all right. I've settled it in my heart that holiness is right, holy living is right, looking like holiness is right. There's all these standards and things that folks are afraid of, but it is still right in the eyes of God. All right, so we're living in a day, even our church world, there's folks, places I don't, can't hardly go to preach anymore, all right? And it should be because they used to believe, but they've changed, they've seen a different way, a different light, amen? Well, that is the falling away that the Bible speaks of. All right, and I want you to know that we don't have to be. I want God to keep my mind clear. I want my conscience to be right. I want to stay prayed up and let the Holy Ghost, amen, give me understanding, amen, that He has never changed. I got to get someplace here. Amen. And we do understand that we're in the last days. All right, now to build churches, here's what we got to do. To build church, we've got to have a program, or we've got to have a dinner. And I don't mean to be funny, I've had my share of dinners. All right, but a dinner never did bring the presence of the Holy Ghost. A program, a ball team, all right. And I'm going to talk about, and Brother Gene, you'll forgive me, you and Mom and Button, because you've heard me. But you'll forgive me, but I need to talk about my revival that we had at our church again. And they've heard it two or three times if they hear me at all. But Brother Bobby asked me to talk about it because I want to encourage you about it tonight. That God is no respecter of persons, and what He does for us, He can do for you. What He's done. I like talking about what happened 30 years ago, but we got to have it tonight. We got to have it today. Amen. We need to move into the Holy Ghost right now. Amen. Thank God for what happened 30 years ago. But we got to have it right now. Amen. And so we still need, and I'm a strong believer in reference, that we don't need another program or another dinner or another way to get folks to come to church other than a moving of the Spirit and presence and power of the Holy Ghost. It'll do it better than what anyone else can do. And I know everybody is changing. And I believe in outreach. I believe in outreach. I believe in running buses if you want to. And I believe in all that, all right? But it has always been in the Bible. In the Bible now. It's not my opinion. It's not just old-fashioned. It's not just old-fashioned. But in the Bible, every time they had a revival, it was a moving of the Holy Ghost. It wasn't a program, amen, that they had. All right, I know they work it up. It's done been said tonight. There's a counterfeit out there. And folks is just satisfying their flesh, amen. It's not the real moving of the Holy Ghost of heaven like I was taught, like my mama taught me, like how I was raised, amen. I have not erred from it because I believe in it because it's the Bible. In this text of mine here, John was in an isle that's called Patmos. He was thrust away to die. And the world put him in that predicament. Come on. The world done that. Now the world is putting us in a predicament that we can't hardly handle. Right, we don't have the ability to handle what society is doing to us. Come on, all right, and no matter what it be, now it's getting to where they're taking our liberty, they're taking our freedom. And I don't know if you understand, I'm not an end time guy, I'm not a prophecy guy. I don't know when the Lord's coming, for the Bible says no man knows the day nor the hour, but the first group that's out of here, I'm going with them. That's all I know. That's all I know, Brother Bobby. I'm really not for sure when he's coming. Right? I do believe he's coming because the signs are pointing to the coming of the Lord. The great falling away is here. What people used to do and used to believe. You know, what is popular, that don't mean it's right. Just because it's popular and everybody, and sometimes we got to go against the grain. And sometimes we got to go against family. And it nothing hurts no worse than going against family or somebody that you're raised up with. All right, it don't hurt, it just hurts. But sometimes we got to stand up for truth, stand up for righteousness, keep a right spirit, Brother Gene, a right attitude, amen. Prove that we're still Christians and we're not going to compromise. Now I tell folks, Brother Bobby, there's a fine line, because how many believes the Lord loves people unconditionally? And we've got to love folks unconditionally, no matter where they go, how they believe, what they look like, but we don't compromise in doing that. Because the Lord loves unconditionally. It's hard for me to do sometimes. I have to pray and ask God to help me when I see folks and family that used to believe like I did. That runs me down the road and says, you know, it's just old-fashioned and old-fogey. All right, and I feel the pressure of the end time. I feel that. All right, and it takes something greater. Now listen, it takes something greater than just the ability in us to not change. We need a higher power. All right, there was John on the isle that is Patmos, called Patmos, thrust away to die. The world done that to him, Brother Bobby. The world done that to him. They wanted to kill him. They wanted him to die. Sometimes I feel like that's what the world's trying to do to the church, and they are. They're trying to kill the church, Brother Gene. They're trying to kill it out, amen. But the church was founded, amen, on God's good black back book, the Bible. I still believe in it, amen. And John said he was on that aisle for the word of God. And for the testimony of Jesus Christ, thrust away to die. That was the environment the world put us in. Same thing had done to John in the Isle of Patmos. All right, the other environment, he got in the Spirit. Now, all right, don't think I ain't got a lot more to preach. I got a lot more to preach. But I want to tell you something. The answer to life's issues and the world doing what they're trying to do is kill the church. The world is trying to kill out our government. Our government, our elected officials is trying to do away with God. All right, we are no match for them. But I want to tell you something. When John got in that other environment, when he got in the second environment, the world done to him, amen, and he thought he would die, amen, because of what the world done to him. Amen. But he got in the spirit of prayer on the Lord's day. He got in the spirit. Amen. He got the Holy Ghost moving in his life. Amen. And that's what we got to have to counteract what the world is doing to us. We got to have a moving of the Holy Ghost. Got to have it, brother. If we don't have it, our churches is going to die. We got to have the Holy Ghost. Bless him, Lord. Bless him, Lord. Lord have mercy. Now to our revival. And I'm going to close, Brother Bobby.
You obey the Lord. You've got the floor. Come on.
Thank you. I want to encourage you tonight. I've been raising this all my life. They thought I was going to Tennessee when I took pastor to be worldly. That was the word that was out. I was going to be worldly. And my church did have some issues and problems. Now listen, God knew what was in my heart. He knew what was in my heart. I hurt. Some of my best friends turned on me. And you'll have it happen. Sometimes your best friends will turn on you. They don't understand the will of God sometimes. And Brother Gene, I went down there, and it was for 2 or 3 years. I thought, Lord, maybe I did miss it. Well, we just got in the fire. We come out of it. We got down to 35 people. We went up to 100, 120. Then we got down to 75. And we probably run 75 faithfully. We might have 100. And it's not all about numbers. I'm just trying to get to a point here. All right, it's not about numbers. I'd rather have 50 good people as have 150. All right, and struggle with worldliness and all this other stuff. I'd just rather have small church if that's what it takes. And I want folks to come in. There's a society out there that don't know what we know. We've got to be merciful and give them grace. But these folks that know better, I'm hard on. Once you have been enlightened and once you have tasted, Brother Gene, they're held accountable to God, not to me. They're going to be held accountable for God for what they once believed that was in this black back book. You hear me? They're going there. They're falling away because I know their lifestyles prove different, so they decide to compromise because of their lifestyle or their children's lifestyle.
Right, right.
That's always the breaking point. Yeah. Or grandkids. That's always the breaking point, all right, when it comes home to you. I remember standing against my own boy. Now listen, it was so bad I don't even like talking about it, sister. You hear me? I don't like talking. It's my son. I tell my mom and I tell my folks, and this is the way we are. I can say what I want about my kids. You leave them alone. Because we love them, sister, unconditionally. That don't mean we agree with them. But we love them unconditionally. And my son broke our heart. He got into sin, bad sin. My mama don't even know all about it. And I'm not going to talk about it. All right? He like broke my heart. And I had stood against him. All right, and he gave me a card the other day. They just had a baby. He's married and got a baby doing real good right now. He's not saved, but he don't have that lifestyle. And I can't tell you what I had to go through. But he gave up that lifestyle. Even though he was a sinner, he gave up that, but he knew that wasn't the way. And in that card, it was our anniversary. Valentine's Day was our anniversary. We was married 37 years. And in that card, he gave us a $50 gift card. I always like gift cards. I like going out to eat. You can tell by looking at me. But in that gift card, he said he got a new baby. She's just 4 months old. Lily's her name. Lillian is her name. It's our newest grandbaby. We got 8. And he wrote his card, Mom, and I've got it in my truck out there. He said, I hope I can raise my Lily like you raised me, Mom and Dad. Old Jeannie got a hold of me. He got a hold of me. It was worth more than $500. Him not even saved. He said, I hope I can raise Lily like you raised me, Mom and Dad. You hear me? I want to tell you, it's not always good to stand. You hear me? But he remembers 10 years ago when I took that stand and I didn't compromise. And it was tough. I'll tell you, I fell under the pressure of it, Brother Gene. I collapsed. I absolutely almost had a nervous breakdown. First time in my life that ever happened. I was painting. I'm a painter by trade, and I just collapsed. And I called my wife. I said, I'm not going to go. This is my wife, sister. You like this? I said, I don't feel like preaching revival. I was in revival when I was painting here in Ohio. I said, I'm going to close out revival. I just can't take no more. She said, you get back to church, and you preach revival. That's my wife. She knew. I was about to give in to the old devil. But I want to tell you something. Now listen. I've got 2 sons and a daughter. That was my oldest son I'm talking about. My youngest son lives in Tennessee. And he got hurt in church trouble. Can I talk to you a little while?
Go ahead,
I hope I'm helping you. I don't like talking about my personal life, but I'm hoping it'll help somebody here tonight. It's not enjoyable to talk about it. But my youngest son backslid in church work. He got hurt. He was a drum player, brother. I mean, he had beat the tar out of them things. He was a drum player. And he backslid 10 years. He had been backslid. My daughter-in-law got weary in well-doing. She is a singer, I'm telling you. She's faithful. She's a doll. She's a doll baby. She got weary in well-doing because of him being backslid. And they got two girls, and he wouldn't come to church and bring them. She got weary. She got down. And in July of this past year, Brother Bobby, we invited a preacher, Brother Alexander. He's a pastor at 10th Street.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you what happened to him, too. I hope I ain't taking too much time.
Go ahead.
I want to tell you what happened to him here in a little while. But I remember that Sunday night, Brother Alexander was going to preach one night. He brought one suit. He was scheduled one night. Now, how many knows God does it different than what we do?
Amen.
I'm not against scheduling, but sometimes the best revival is just send the right guy, send the right preacher, and we'll have revival. It's not always scheduled, and I'm not against scheduling. I do. But sometimes your greatest revival is when God says, listen, let me schedule it. You need to get out of the way. Come on, church. That's all right. That's the best revival is when God says, let me take care of it. And he did. That Sunday night, I was telling you, Brother Bobby, all right, there's a lady, one lady, her husband's gone. They pastored the same church I'm pastoring for 20 years. She's 75 years old. And she said, when I was a teenage girl, I've seen God move like he's been moving around here. Teenage girl. Sister Esther has been there 40 years, said, I've never seen God move like he's moved in this revival. Now, I want to encourage you here tonight with this. How many believes he loves you just as much as he does us? He is no respecter of persons. He is no respecter of persons. On Sunday night, somebody's saying something about it tonight. Maybe it's you, brother. All right. And that Sunday night, that one night service that we was going to have, the Spirit of the Lord broke out. And I'll just tell you exactly, can I tell exactly how it happened, Brother Bobby? I was getting ready to dismiss. The Holy Ghost wouldn't let me. And said, hey, I need to do something here. And I backed off and I said, I don't know what the Lord's wanting to do, and I'm having trouble dismissing, sister. And I backed off and I said, somebody needs to obey God here tonight. And it was my daughter-in-law. I didn't know it was her. She's very timid and very backward. She don't get like getting up. She gets up and sings, but she can't hardly get her testify or nothing. All right, that used to be. She's different now. We had revival. But when I done that, when I said, if you need to obey God, do it, she got off. She was sitting on that with her two little girls. She crawled to the altar. When she got on her knees, now listen, it wasn't a preacher that broke that revival out. It was someone that was sitting there that was in a storm of her life. Sister, she obeyed God. You hear me? It don't take a preacher to break out revival. And I'm glad for preachers. I be one. But it don't take a preacher. And when she did, 75 people there that night, maybe 85, started crying uncontrollably when she started crawling. Holy Ghost conviction fell in there as powerful as I've seen it in 25 years. They start screaming and wailing under the influence of the Holy Ghost. Two blocks away, our neighbor said, I thought one of your kids got run over, and I was getting ready to call the life squad. Two blocks away, he heard that. And I want to tell you something. When God does it, he does it right. You hear me? I hadn't heard and seen conviction. And I've seen it once or twice in my life. But that was one time. It's the most powerful I ever seen. And there in that back seat sat my backslidden son. This girl that obeyed God. This girl that obeyed his wife. And there he sat. He bowed his head, and he told me later, sis, he said, Dad, I could not get up. It was impossible. He's always got up, run out, left. He said under conviction before. Brother Randy Webb has preached to him I don't know how many times, trying to get him saved. He said, Dad, I could not get up. It was impossible for me to get up. And after 20 minutes of putting his head on the pew, he finally got up, and when he came to an altar, it took him 40 minutes to pray absolutely all the way through. Now listen, that was one of the greatest things that happened in that revival. But I'm going to tell you, we went for 5 weeks, did not know what was going to happen from service to service. We couldn't dismiss. We had stayed till midnight. Preacher didn't preach half the time. You didn't know what was going to happen. Anybody ever remember them kind of revivals?
Oh, come on.
And I told brother they was an older couple, been backslid 47 years, lived in Indianapolis, Indiana, south of there. And they heard about a revival. Their brother goes to my church, Dexter's girl. Been backslid 40. Last preacher he heard was Claude Ely. And they come, and they got saved. The next night, she got the Holy Ghost. A week later, my son got the Holy Ghost. 2 months ago, he was called to preach. And I want to tell you, I told my son, Brother Bobby, everybody says they're called to preach is not called. I said, that gift will make room for itself. Not because who you are, who you know, you're called to preach. It's because God calls you, son. And when that gift makes room for itself, you'll know. Your daddy cannot make you a preacher. It only comes from God. And he's been up just a couple times, brother. And it's spirit. He just spirit he's got. He's not preaching real good and slow. But, man, he gets folks to pray. When he gets done, there's a spirit about him that people want to come pray. And so I feel like God's got his hand on it, but that's between him and God. That ain't me. Now listen, we went 5 weeks, and this is one thing that I just loved. We got a baptistry in our church. I've used it a few times. I personally like the river. Sometimes rivers aren't very clean, and a lot of folks are going to baptistries, and I'm not against that. But we like going to the river. We went to the river because folks wanted to go, and there's 12 folks we were going to baptize. We got out there on a barge, and that barge is half as big as this church. Been on the river for years and years, just parked there, an old flat steel barge. And there was 85 people that morning, Sunday morning. I got on that barge, strummed them old guitars, and it was like when I was a little boy, and we'd go to the river. Spirit of the Lord come in such a mighty way that morning. There was 35 people that got baptized before we left the river. And I want to tell you something. The world is telling us we cannot have that kind of revival. But I'm telling you, on the authority of God's word, if we live right and do right and pray, if you don't pray, you'll stray. Prayer is the key. Nothing else works. Prayer is the key, all right, to being a child of God. It'll keep us. And our young people was going in the basement and praying every Sunday for months before we finally broke out in revival. And I've heard, brother, you know Brother Lindell Birdsong?
Yeah, I know
Brother Lindell yesterday, and he said they're the same way in their church, and I've heard 4 or 5 other churches. Now listen, we can't look at what the other churches are doing or not doing.
Right.
Let's get our minds off of what they're doing and what they're not doing, and let's focus our hearts and minds right here and say, God, that preacher said we can have revival like our forefathers and our old-timers talked about. You hear me? I prayed for years, sister. I prayed for years, Lord, I'm tired of folks saying it's not the way it used to be. I know times are not the way they used to be. But if you're the same, we can still have the same kind of revival that they had 30 years ago. And I want to tell you tonight, one reason I wanted to come, I want to tell you, you can have revival. It don't have to be me. I'm so busy, I got to go home. But my desire ever since our revival is when I go, that's the reason they've heard it so much. And I know they get tired of hearing it. But the reason I go to churches I ain't been to in a long time, I want to tell them, holiness churches, don't give up, don't quit, don't say we can't have church like they did 30 years ago. We can. We can on the authority of God's word. Amen. You can have it at this church. You can see folks saved. You can see folks sanctified and filled with heaven's Holy Ghost. There was 20 to 25 filled and refilled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost in that meeting. So I'm telling you, God still wants to do it. All right, we are. We're in two environments at the same time. The world has put us in one environment, but when you get in the Spirit, in the presence of God, another environment will happen, and that is old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival that can come to us. I'm done. So much sickness, so much disease. Sin is rampant in all of our homes and our family. And right, listen, it's not better singing. It's not better preaching. It's a movement of the Holy Ghost that's going to get it done in these last days. He said, in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. You spend time praying and spend time fasting, and I promise you, you can have revival like they talked about 20 and 30 years ago. I believe it because I experienced it. And I want to tell folks, and that's the reason I'm here. I know it wasn't great preaching. I know it. I could have went a different way. But I really wanted to help you tonight and encourage you and say, listen, you can't have revival. Huh? My son that's not saved that lives in Ohio, I see the Lord. We went to Jerry Pasquarelli's last Wednesday. Him and his wife and new baby wanted to go with us. My mom went. All right. And I see the Lord working on him. And that's the desire for our children and our grandchildren to get saved. They get out, they get in sin, and we shake our head and say, are they ever going to come home? But they will. If we get under a burden and pray, they can come home. They know. They won't leave it. And I told you, Mom, you need to read that card I got out there that he gave us the other day. My wife's still... That's worth more than money could buy. I hope. And she's 4 months old. She's little. She's a doll baby. And it was our anniversary when he gave us that card. I thought my heart would jump out of me. Dad and Mom, he said, I hope we can raise Lily like you raised us. Hope I do as good a job as you've done with us. Huh? And I'm going to tell you, revival will affect people. You don't have to advertise. Holy Ghost will advertise for himself. That's the way it happened years ago. Brother Bobby, you remember some of these young folks, I don't know if y'all remember, but I'm old enough to know that when revival really happens, you don't have to advertise and put flyers out. And he'll advertise for himself. Folks will come and see what's going on. Wouldn't you like to see that here? Do you believe it can happen? I love you, Brother Bobby. I hope I've helped you tonight.
Let's stand all over the building. Brother Don Ingram, outstanding good preaching. Give us an encouragement tonight that we can rest assured that God's the same God in Ohio as he is in Tennessee. And if God can do it there, he can do it here. And Brother Carter and I, as he testified earlier, Brother Don, we agreed together that 2013 was going to be our year. This was going to be the year God was going to give us a jubilee right here in this church. And the Bible said, if any two touch in any one thing, faith believe in, ye shall have it. And I believe it. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
2 years before we really broke out in revival, I made a statement publicly to my church. I want to see more folks saved than I've ever seen in my life. I made that statement. I had no idea how the devil would attack us. They attacked our church. They attacked me. I had one man that put letters all over the country, said my goal is to destroy Don Ingram and that church. And we went through. I thought I was going to have to get a lawyer. There's all kinds of things. And I'm not telling you this. I'm not telling you this for sympathy, but I'm going to tell you, when you stand up and say, look, we want old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival, listen, expect a fight.
Come on,
but if you stay true, if you stay true, God will come to you. You hear me? The mountain was so much greater than the valley that we walked through. And that's what God will do for us if we stay true. See, my heart's right. My heart's right. I want to keep it right. I pray all the time. I'm a preacher. I've been this all my life. Lord, don't let me stray. Don't let me bring a reproach on the church. And I told my church, I said, if you want me to resign, because I do not want to bring a reproach on this church. That's my greatest fear, Brother Gene. And I know preachers fall by the wayside, but you're looking at one. I'd rather the Lord take me on out of here to bring a reproach on the house of God. All right? I don't want to be caught up in financial mess or adultery or nothing like that. And I'm not saying against anybody that has. There's mercy for them, and they can get back to God. But it's just a personal conviction, mine. If I have to fall that way, then I'm just going to give up the ministry and try to stay saved and go to heaven. So that's my personal conviction that I can have, and I don't broadcast that. That's the way I feel in my heart. And so I want you to know, just because you say this is the year, get ready. Get ready. That's all right. Prayer will make a difference.
Hallelujah. I'll tell you what. I don't guess you can find any better preaching, and was ordained from the Lord for us. It was for us. I know, Brother Dom, we've got a revival scheduled for Jody Pasquarelli in the next 3 weeks. But you know what? You know what? I'm like Brother Don. I'd like for revival to break loose before Jody Pasquarelli ever even gets here. You know, we can break out revival amongst ourselves. Brother Drake can preach, and I can preach, and whoever else God brings in to preach. And brother, like Don said, I've been in the Holy Ghost meetings where the preacher didn't even get time or an opportunity to preach because the glory of God filled the temple where they was at. Amen. We remember those times. We read about those times where the Spirit of God filled the temple. So go ahead, Brother Don.
Yeah, I ain't done this in years. I don't mean to keep taking over. I told you about Brother Alexander. He had an interview in Oklahoma City. And he was going to take a $70,000 a year job. This was on a Tuesday. Sunday night, he was at our place. He said, I've got to go. I said, you mean we're starting revival and God's moved and you're leaving to go get a job? And I prayed about it and I said, no. I said, because the Holy Ghost told me no. And the Holy Ghost had to speak to him one night. You hear me? To assure him that it was him, not just me or something that I wanted. It was fleshly. God, and he said, Don, my ministry's done. No doors is open. I'm going to get a job and go to work. That's what he said to me. My ministry's done. No doors are open. And sister, when he got done 5 weeks, now we went to thrift stores and bought suits and clothes and all kinds of stuff. We had a time. We really did. It was just God. And he got a lot of warmth. He found the most beautiful suits. Just God in it, all of it. And you know what happened when we got done preaching revival? They called him to pastor 10th Street. 10th Street, where Brother Parrott was at. And he's happier. He said, Don Ingram, I'm happier than I've ever been in my life because I'm in the will of God. He got favor with them people. They needed a preacher. And that's what God done. Do you understand? I told him that revival, my church got a new preacher, same face. But a new preacher. And Gene, I got a new congregation, but the same faces. That's what revival will do for us. And it was so wonderful and so great. I'm asking God to do it for folks. When I go tell them, I'm asking Brother Bobby, God, do it for Brother Bobby. Do it for his people. That's my desire. That ain't false. That's not just words. Because we got to have revival if we're going to survive. The environment out there is too awful. It is tribulation. And we've got to have the Spirit of the Lord. It is the remedy, the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to take this no more.
Let's find us a place to pray. Let's find us a place to pray as they sing. Everybody, in the pews, in the altar, wherever you feel, let's thank the Lord for the words tonight. Let's thank the Lord for this anointing that God's bestowed upon us tonight. Everybody, let's ask the Lord to help us. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Come on. Oh, preach wonderfully good.